on Free Radio Santa Cruz with Bathrobes Peer Robert Norris. How goes it?
Wonderful.
I'm looking for your staff member, Gary Yamani.
Yeah, he's the board coordinator.
Cool. Can we have him talk briefly?
Let me see if he's free. Hang on just for a second.
Okay. So we are talking to the Citizens Police Review Board, which, again, as a staff, it's open from 9 to 1, Monday through Thursdays, every day. If you have a problem with a police officer downtown, you can bring in, come into the office, and they'll help you write out a complaint about that, which the police department itself, unfortunately, investigates, and they then, the Citizens Police Review Board, will oversee.
Robert?
Yes.
I'm sorry, he's not free. He's getting ready to go into a meeting.
Well, actually, that's what I wanted him to talk about just for 1 minute on the air so he can tell us what this meeting is about so people can know. Is it possible he can do a quick 30-second, or maybe you can tell us about this meeting?
It's a committee meeting.
Uh-huh.
Actually, they call it a subcommittee.
Right.
And what are they meeting about? That's a good question.
Ask Gary if he can just give us that 1 minute thing. That's all we need.
Hang on just for a sec.
Okay. So this meeting is actually going to be a rather important one, which it's not hard to get through. It's open to the public, thanks to the determined efforts of some of us public members.
Hello, Robert.
Hi, Gary. Can you very quickly tell the audience what this meeting is about and where it's happening so people who want to attend can go and understand what's happening there?
It's a meeting of the Complaint Tracking Process Committee. It's here at the CPRB office at 915 Cedar Street at noon today.
And what issues are you going to be discussing?
They're going to be discussing the new general orders of the police department.
And those orders are orders which specify what kinds of things are complaints and which are inquiries, and this has sort of been a long-standing controversy for the last 4 months, and some correspondence has gone back and forth between Police Chief Belcher and the Citizens Police Review Board on this issue, right?
That's correct.
And how long will this meeting take, and can anybody come?
Meeting is open to the public. I don't know how long it's going to take. There was no ending time set, so I don't know.
Well, make sure you reserve a chair for me.
Okay.
All right.
See you.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. So that's the Police Review Board, and here we have the musher returning to the scene of the crime. Hi, musher.
Not a crime.
Mushing is not a crime. That's true. I have to agree with you there.
Well, what I want to do is create rainbow stations, and that's using all the rights that the panhandlers have, and also...
And the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which will be panhandling big time tomorrow for $47,000.
Yeah, right. Well, to just go out there, and then people, when they just have... I want them to just give out some information about how people can get mushed and where they can get mushed, and panhandle for hugs, for mushing hugs, for, well, the Usum hug it's called. And that way, you know, people, but the thing is I want it to be upgraded from just looking like you just, you know, sleep outside to, you know, making your panhandling a real art form. My rainbow people, I want it to be an art form so they can either sing or dance, or they can pretend they're a statue or an Andy Warhol famous statue type thingy, or, you know, so that there's some color around Santa Cruz. And when you do your panhandling that way, I saw it on TV in New York City, the people who did something, they just weren't looking in their regular clothes and panhandling, people who did something, like played an instrument or sang, one woman had her and her little kids out there, and they were buying a home. They drove an hour into New York City, and the little kids sang, and her, and she said they made really good money, and it was enough for them to buy their own home out of New York. And so basically get panhandling down to a fine art here. And I want to make it called Rainbow Station so that people, when you feel like they can get... See, you can do this really quick because you don't have to have any of your clothes off or anything like a conventional massage thing. I hate calling it massage in the first place because none of those people are doing what this does. None of them want to stop.
And we're going to have you on the air again, Karen, but we've got other people we have to roll with. Could you come back on Friday? That's when our next show is, if you're interested. Friday at 10 o'clock. You're invited to continue part two of Mushomania. Cool. Thank you very much. All right. So what we're going to be doing now is I'm going to be running for that Citizens Police Review Board subcommittee meeting so I can kind of keep an ear on it, maybe even tape the thing if that's possible, if I don't get too much flack around that. As a kind of an introduction to that, we're going to be playing kind of an interview that we began with Gary Yamani, the man you just heard on the phone, who's the staff member of the Citizens Police Review Board. He's quite articulate. Unfortunately, much of the time he doesn't have too much information, which is kind of a sad thing, but he's quite accessible with the information he does have, and he will do often research around that issue. Before we do that, however, I'm going to do a very brief segment with Barbara Riverwoman, who is an activist with Save Our Shelters and the River Street Refugees, the campers who were deported by Mike Rotkin to New Brighton Beach, who have currently been deported further to Sunset Beach because you can only stay at a campground for 2 weeks where you have to move, and you only stay a total of, I think it's a month or 28 days out of every year. It's really, you know, designed to harass people who are trying to exist from campground to campground because of the situation here in the United States and California. Barbara Riverwoman gave me this interview about 2 weeks ago. It's a little out of date, but I haven't heard of a lot of new developments. There is a meeting, I believe, of Save Our Shelters tonight at 7 o'clock at the Veterans Hall. I believe the Underground Cafe or Coffee House is still closed, but you go into the Veterans Building and you'll find a room where that's meeting. I think it's room 21, some such thing. I'm not quite sure of the exact room number. Give a call to Barbara Riverwoman at 425-5939, 425-5939 for information about Save Our Shelters and for information about this Save Our Shelters meeting tonight, which I recommend any interested parties come to. Let's hear a little of Barbara Riverwoman's interview, and then we'll move on to the last part of our show, which will be an interview with Gary Yamane on the Police Review Board.
We're on the line with Barbara Riverwoman, who has been doing lots of work around the issue of shelter for people living outside. By shelter, we mean that we're actually talking campgrounds and the right to live your own life, I suppose. Right, Barbara?
Well, I like to distinguish between shelters and campgrounds because, you know, when CCH said shelter, they meant nighttime shelter, which required taking down a tent in the morning. And as you know, there was a big hassle about...
You're referring to the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which ran the Coral Street Open Air Shelter.
Right. So the more I read about shelters, not only locally but nationally, the more... distasteful, more than distasteful, more outrageous it seems to warehouse people in places that are unhealthy and crowded disrespectful to the way people should be treated. We certainly don't begin to deal with the real issues that homeless people are facing.
Well, you've been really determined to get a close sense of how people living outside are living and to express some solidarity with them. As I remember in December when people continued to live on the Coral Street Open Air Shelter after a November 29th agreement with Daryl Darling and Paul Marceau, who head the Citizens Committee for the Homeless's Open Air Shelter Project. I guess Marceau does and Darling is sort of one of the negotiators because he's involved with the Community House Trailer Project that is due to supplant it in March. You moved out of the field in order to be there with the campers, particularly when Marceau made what seemed to be a precipitous, to me, contract-breaking decision on December 12th to tell everyone to leave the field.
Exactly. I moved on December 11th, the day after the big storm, when Marceau made the announcement that they were going to close the field. That was the point at which I thought... I needed to express solidarity with all of the campers who refused to leave the field, who had no other place to go. They stayed there because they couldn't go into the armory or wouldn't go into the armory, and were not willing to risk arrest by going into the hills. And I wanted to say, you know, I'm down here with you, and I wouldn't to get arrested with you. It made me very, very mad when Paul Marceau came down and made that announcement. It made me mad because they were closing it, first of all, and there was, you know, they were closing it on 200 people and providing no alternative place for the people to go. And second of all, it made me mad for the same reason it made you mad, that they broke their promise to negotiate with people. They just, you know, handed this down as an ultimatum that it was closed, and they had promised that in case of bad weather they would sit down and talk with the campers and see if they could come up with some kind of solution. And I always felt that some kind of solution was was really feasible. And look at the weather since...
It's been kind of ironic, hasn't it?
It's been great weather, and really these people could easily have stayed there.
And there is, in fact, a fenced-off field sitting right next to Homeless Resources, the River Street Shelter and the Homeless Resource Center.
Sitting there empty. The only thing that's left there are all the pallets we brought in. Which gives me a great deal of pleasure to see all of those pallets. They could get rid of the people and they could...
And that is an interview with Barbara Riverwoman. Unfortunately, we cannot conclude it because we are rushed for time. If by chance we have time later, we will be able to. And she was invited to be on the show this morning, but she had a meeting of the campers out at Sunset Beach at 10 o'clock in the morning. Couldn't come. I'm going to interrupt it, however, because I think it's really important because we have an imminent meeting of the Citizens Police Review Board Subcommittee on Complaint Procedures. For those who are interested in making sure that there is a real citizen force contesting the police state, which we have our Santa Cruz version of the police state, you can show up in 15 minutes at 915 Cedar Street. I believe that's Cedar and it's either Locust. It's the same street in which the police department is found. It's one block over from the Pacific Garden Mall. It's kitty corner from the new parking garage. Boy, I wish I could learn what the cross street is, and I guess eventually I will. I'm going to play you an interview I began last week with Gary Yamane, the staff member, to give you some idea of the current issues which are uppermost in my mind, some of which will be discussed for the next hour at this Citizens Police Review Board meeting, again, 915 Cedar Street. Give a call to 429-3262 if you don't know how to get there. 429-3262. And tonight, SOS meets. I remind you of that. It'll be meeting at the Veterans Hall at 7 o'clock. Just go to the Veterans Hall and start sniffing around until you find the meeting. Tomorrow, Citizens Police, City Council will be discussing that here, the funding for the Citizens Committee for the Homelessness Community House Boondoggle, the project that will try to supplant open air shelter. And of course, today at 3:30, if you're up for it on Monday, there's going to be a meeting of the Open Air Shelter Subcommittee of City Council. That's the city manager's office. But right now, hustle your buns over to 915 Cedar Street. Check out Police Review or Lack of It in Action. It's in-depth and up-close, and who knows, something might actually come out of this. Let's hear Gary Yamane and see what he has to say about police review in an interview I had with him recently, some of which you heard last week.
It's harder for them to get rid of.
So I might have to ask you to come up.
If we can get the right tape, you'll be able to hear that very shortly. It shouldn't be too hard. Yeah, this is it. Here we go.
Had a number of long-standing concerns, such as, public access. Can members of the public, for instance, get copies of police reports? I think we found out indigents cannot without paying some preposterous cost or something. Wasn't that what we discovered when we talked to Sergeant, is it Lieutenant Velasquez?
It's now Lieutenant Velasquez, and I believe that is correct, that there is a fee for the reports, and it's a fee for everybody.
Now that's something that has to be, I think, changed. Indigent people should not have to pay for access to reports that are important for the various kinds of work they're doing. That's always been a grievance of mine with respect to city council type stuff, and I think there is some provision for a waiver, at least at the judicial level. I don't know if there's, and there should be at the local level. Just thought I'd throw that in, since we're on the air. there have been a number of controversies that I, at least, have been concerned about. One of them has been the fact that the Citizens Police Review Board takes its legal decisions from the City Council, John Barisoni, who is, in my view, a man with a conflict of interest here because, let's say, his office is a conflict of interest because his office also defends the police department from lawsuits. And so you are, in a sense, certainly in a somewhat adversarial position, your board is, with respect to the police department. Can you perhaps tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I haven't noticed that John has had a conflict with anything that he's handled for the board at this point. There have been issues that the board thought thought that they might want outside legal counsel on. The topic of outside legal counsel was discussed at the January 8th meeting of the board. It's the board's understanding that the city council is taking action on this.
Now, what issues particularly has the board been discussing getting outside counsel on?
They're concerned about what information from the complaint and the complaint process can be released to the public.
There's been a long-standing concern of mine. I mean, I understand you file a complaint with the Citizens Police Review Board, and then suddenly the police department stamps secret and confidential on it, and nobody can see it. At least that has been the case for the last year, more or less, has it not?
That's not quite accurate. The complainant can always release their copy of the complaint to the public and press.
But they cannot ask you to keep a copy in their office that's open to the public,
correct? That is correct.
And that's very strange, you know. Why can't they? Why can't they simply leave a complaint with you and say, here, send one to the police stations, surely, but also leave one on file for those other people who need to know that such a thing is being filed. It took me 5 years to get it together to have the courage to file this complaint, or let's say, I guess it wouldn't be 5 years because it's you have a statute of limitations, but it took me a certain amount of courage to get it together to do this. Now I want the public to know it, and I don't want to have to throw a press conference to do it.
Right.
Is there some, I guess the reason has to do with the police complaint form, that now that becomes an official police document or some double talk like that?
Well, the reasoning is, the legal reasoning that we've been told is that the complaint form that the complainant fills out opens the internal affairs investigation and therefore is part of the internal affairs investigation file.
And the internal affairs investigation, we should say, is what takes place inside the actual police department. You don't do that. That's what the police department is, and like the fox watching the chicken coop, does its own investigation of itself, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And the board reviews that investigation. So anyway, the complaint form, because it is the document that starts the whole investigation, is a confidential document because it is attached to the internal affairs files. That is the legal opinion of the city attorney, and that is what we're bound by at this point.
Well, could an individual go in, file a complaint, which would then become part of the confidential file of the police department, and then file a second copy of that complaint with you and say, I'd like you to keep this in an open file?
The city attorney has advised us that it's the document itself that is confidential, the document and the contents. So, unless the form is altered by perhaps the police department, I'm not sure on this, that the, even if we get a copy of it, is still a confidential document.
Well, suppose they filed the original complaint with you or with the police department, and then they came in and took a copy of that complaint and simply struck out the top line or something. They altered it in some way and said, this is my public copy of this complaint, and I wish to file it with you for the information of those who want to know that complaints are being filed, and this is not exactly the same, this is a copy, and I'd like you to put that in an open file.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to do that?
I don't know. I would have to check with the city attorney. I mean, I'm not a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You do have numerous documents that are open to the public.
Yes.
And one would assume, I mean, I know, for example, that I've given you different flyers that you keep in a folder that's open to the public, mm-hmm. in essence. Mm-hmm. So it would seem to me that you are burdening, or at least the city attorney is burdening, I don't want to blame you, burdening the complainant who comes in with a complaint against the police department and wants that complaint known. And it seems to me there has to be a process by which that can be done, which sidesteps this clearly politically motivated attempt to sequester complaints by the police department. And I guess I would always love to see your board in a kind of proactive way trying to do things like this, to expand the public's access.
Well, Robert, let me tell you that the board has expanded the Complaint Tracking Process Committee.
Mm-hmm.
It is a committee now of Kay Bowden, Michael Hernandez, and John Malkin.
Mm-hmm.
And their charge is to look into what information can be made public
When is the next meeting of that committee?
I have not been informed when the committee is meeting, but this is one of the issues, this is the issue that they're looking into. And
the next meeting of that committee is within, in 5 minutes, folks, and it's 915 Cedar Street, so hustle on down there. You're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. We can hear a little more of this interview, and then we're going to be out of here. This is Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're tuned to it. You will be able to call in if you call in the next 5 minutes to catch me at 427-3772. Otherwise, call me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, for any news about discrimination downtown, news about any problems with homeless services, news about homeless rights and life on the streets generally, police abuse, things of that sort. If you want to be on the air, show up at Taco Bell, 945 at Pacific and Laurel Streets on Monday and Friday. That's when the show airs, 10 to 12 in the morning, every Monday and Friday. I want to thank you for being with me. We're going to kind of go out on this interview and then possibly another one. And I hope that you'll give me a call and keep this show going, because it goes through you. The information that gets out doesn't come from me. It ultimately comes from you, everybody out there who lets me know what's going on so I can pass on the word. We continue now in an interview with Gary Yamane, Citizens Police Review Board staff member. And again, there's a meeting happening for the next hour. I invite the public to join me at 915 Cedar Street to keep an eye on the police department.
If you have specific ideas about...
or if any member of the public does.
Or any member of the public, right.
Mm-hmm.
About how we can address this issue, yeah, it would be very important to get that information to that committee.
Uh-huh. You have a phone number people can call to leave information with that committee?
They should call the office here at 429-3262, and we'll have the latest information as to when the committee is meeting and where.
And I should add that you can be reached at this number between 9 and 1 Monday through Thursday, right?
Correct.
And that your office does accept complaints, and you will assist people in filling them out if they have a problem with any sworn Santa Cruz City police officer.
Yes.
Of course, my problem with the endless process of committee meetings that your board has been engaged in for the last 13 months is that it seems painfully slow, and it also seems that Police Officers Association seems to be kind of cutting you off at the pass at every turn. Police Officers Association, for those people who are listening, is the union for the police department, which it protects the rights and privacy and job security, I would assume, of the police department. But they've also been attempting to, as I understand it, and I want to state it fairly, to limit the powers of the Citizens Police Review Board, even to the extent of, what would you say about that? How would you describe that?
I would say that the Police Officers Association was never in favor of a Citizens Police Review Board, and that continues today.
Mm-hmm. And let us say that the kinds of concerns and objections they've raised have been like what?
Their main concern is police officers' confidentiality. They're an association of the police officers. They want to protect the rights of their officers as they see those rights, and that's their main concern with this public board, is that that confidentiality is not breached.
So in this case, what that means is stamping secret and confidential on every complaint that comes into the police department, so that the public essentially is denied access to those complaints, or at least to the names of the officers who are being complained against, unless an individual who is filing a complaint wishes to take the expense, trouble, and risk of holding a press conference.
That's about it, because there are specific state laws that pertain to personnel actions, and that's what we're bound by.
In fact, hasn't the POA also attempted to interfere with or limit the access of the board itself to these complaints? I understand for a while you guys had to troop over to the police station and read the complaints under armed guard, or one might say having the police archive officer there while you read the actual complaint. They would not send you copies of the complaint until I think you negotiated that months later, and they're still telling you that you need some kind of a $1,000 safe in the office to make sure that activists don't break in and read the complaints that they could get by simply talking to the complainant? Am I being fair here in saying this?
No, there are several inaccuracies there, Robert.
Please clarify my inaccuracies.
Initially, the board did have to do their reviews at the police department. The police were not making copies of the original internal affairs investigation file. The internal affairs officer was not present in the room while the board members deliberated on a particular complaint, but they were in the building because they are the custodian of that particular file. So they did need to be there. They couldn't just give us the file and say, okay, do what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really remember the reason right now why initially we weren't getting why it wasn't being copied.
Could it be our friend the city attorney again in his impartial role?
I honestly don't remember, Robert. It was so long ago.
But that policy did change, and now you are receiving copies of the complaints with the officer's name removed. Is that correct, or
No. There's two documents you're talking about. There's the complaint that the person fills out,
mm-hmm.
and there is the internal affairs investigation file, which is the investigation into that complaint and mm-hmm. everything attached to that investigation.
Right, but the original complaint is made a part of that file, so that your attempt to show that to the public is thwarted by the city attorney's decision.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. But as it stands right now, we get a copy of the complaint as our notification that a complaint has come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a full copy, and it's a confidential document.
Mm-hmm.
Once the internal affairs investigation is completed and the chief is satisfied with the investigation, we get a copy of that for the board to review.
Mm-hmm.
And once the review is done, that copy goes back to the police department and they destroy it.
And the actual, the disposition of complaints, I guess, has been another area of controversy. Hasn't there been some pressure on you? In fact, what's the reality in terms of letting people know about the disposition of complaints against specific officers as named officers? Are you allowed to release the names of the officers against whom complaints have been made when you actually have completed your investigation of the investigation?
No, the officer's name is confidential, and we cannot release the officer's name.
Incredible. So even though that which was once public has suddenly been made confidential. That even if the individual who's filing the complaint requests it be public, you will in essence facilitate the police department's attempt to keep this all under wraps.
Well, I wouldn't just blame the police department, Robert. It's state law that we're dealing with. And
state law facilitated by the police departments throughout the state, I would imagine.
Of course.
Right.
Of course. But it is a state law. It has to do with personnel files. And if the board is going to ask the city council to challenge that state law, then that's what it's going to be. But that's what we're looking at. We're not talking about just the Santa Cruz Police Department. We're talking about a state law that governs how all personnel files are handled in the state, whether it's police department or water department. Anybody's personnel record is subject to confidentiality.
Well, we're not talking about a personnel record. We're talking about the results of an investigation by a supposedly independent body which was set up for the very purpose of giving the public access to, and so a sense of assurance that we aren't just having police officers covering up their own misconduct. I'm putting this in a somewhat advocacy way, Gary, because we're on the air and I'm trying to, you know, dramatize and clarify the issues for the public. I know that you are, in fact, you often have tried to facilitate my questions on this and my inquiries, but it seems real clear to me that if you and the board wanted, you could get around the state law very quickly. You could say, okay, that's true, it's part of the personnel file, therefore we will ask every person coming in, we'll give them the option to say, if you want this made public, you have to call back after the complaint has been received and make a specific statement to the board that this is the officer's name and put it in this file here, which would be an independent document. I mean, you could do that. There's no problem with that. Or you could at least taken the initiative to do that in the last year. It seems to me a rather obvious thing. If the board itself sure that a lot of this stuff got out instead of engaging in ride-alongs, you know, and kind of buddy-alongs with essentially the very people that they are trying or are charged with investigating and maintaining an advocacy position independent of. I mean, of course, that's of concern to me.
Sure, I understand that. I mean, part of this goes to the purpose of the board. You know, what is the purpose and role of the Citizens Police Review Board? And I believe that at the heart of it is for the board to be here to ensure that there's a fair review of citizen complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's a gray area of whether that it also includes publicizing the complaint.
Well, it seems to me that if an individual is charged with a crime, you get to know who the individual is. And if the charge is dismissed, the charge is dismissed. Mm-hmm. Similarly, if a police officer is accused by a citizen of misconduct, you get to know who a police officer is accused of misconduct. And if that is dismissed, it's dismissed.
Yeah.
But the reality here is that the individuals who are making these complaints are somehow trying to be treated as less credible than, let's say, a citizen filing a complaint in a court. And that seems to me to be, again, the police department attempting to set up the playing field so that it is not even. They already have an immense advantage, and they want to maintain that advantage. And the whole point of your board is to somehow level that field. Now, Chief Belcher has also been the subject of some controversy in terms of under-reporting of complaints, or reporting of complaints, non-reporting of complaints that came in by phone, for instance, and then not clarifying his policy, and then changing his policy in the last year. And I think in San Jose there was some concern that there was a vast under-reporting of complaints because the cops had decided they weren't going to include phone complaints where they say talk people out of their complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Your board has been investigating this, but the issue was brought up in July, I believe by John Malkin, one of your board members. And I guess, what, there was a response from Belcher in October, finally?
Well, to tell you, I'm not sure of... I know this is an issue that's been going on a long time. You're probably right about the dates. I'm not sure about the dates. We now have a written copy of the police department's general orders covering citizen complaints procedures. And these general orders reflect the current procedure of how the police department handles citizen complaints. We just got this last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
but what about how complaints were handled last summer? Do we get any indication that they were underreported?
There's no way to know. There's just no way to know. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
I mean, were phoned-in complaints logged, or were they not logged, is the question. According to Chief Belcher's letter.
Well, according to this new GO policy...
Well, again, we're not really concerned with the new one. I'm concerned with the policy that was in effect last summer.
Okay, well, this is what I'm trying to say.
I'm sorry.
His statement all along has been, this has been the policy of the police department for 10 years or more.
Oh, it's not changed.
It hasn't changed.
I see.
The written policy has changed to reflect what their actual practice has been.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's told us. So,
and the policy has been to log phone complaints or not to log phone complaints?
Not necessarily log them. The policy has been to categorize them into either inquiries or formal complaints.
I see.
And if it was inquiry, there is a logging process. There is some written documentation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether a phone complaint goes to even to the inquiry level, I don't know. There's just no way to know. So this new GO has now that the policy is in writing and we can see exactly what the procedures have been and what they currently are, then it leads to some questions for the board, and the board will be looking into that.
And those questions are?
I'm not sure at this point. That's what I'm saying. It's so new to us,
mm-hmm.
we haven't had time to digest it yet.
Well, my take on this before was that the state law mandates that they record everything, whether phoned or not, as complaints. That was my understanding. I don't have the specific law, but I think I spoke to you and others and various ACLU people, and that the law, which the police department has attempted to skewer in its favor in many respects at the state level, but not this at this point, they are obliged to keep a record of complaints, and they have not done so.
Well,
was my concern.
Right, right. And I think that's probably some members of the board also have that same concern, and the police department's response, I believe, has been what is a complaint and what is an inquiry?
Mm-hmm. Kind of a philosophical approach to the whole question.
Mm-hmm.
What is truth, after all? How many complaints have we received, that is to say, your board received in the last, up to the present time, since you began receiving them?
There were a total of 48 last year, and that's where we stand right now.
How many were sustained by the police department?
Boy, I don't have that statistic available to me right now.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can...
If you had asked me about that, let me know that you needed that.
Sure, maybe we can get that from you in our next interview.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. In how many cases that you're aware of, has the board taken a different view than the police department?
I would say at least half a dozen.
So six out of...
It could be more.
Six out of 48, in other words.
I don't have the statistic with me, so I couldn't tell you.
Any more than 10?
Possibly.
Any more than 15? I'm looking just for your recollection on
this. Yeah, it's hard to know. You're talking about 48 cases.
What I noticed was that the board almost never took a stance different from the police department, and when it did, it was a minor technical change. I think the most notorious case was the case of Sergeant Hennig, who was accused of brushing the breast of a prostitute as part of his policy approach to determining whether an act of prostitution was taking place, and that one shocked me and other members of the public, but the board apparently didn't feel that was grounds for upholding the complaint, even though the officer himself, Sergeant Hennig, admitted that he did this. Are you experiencing, let's put it this way, more public input? Like the last meeting, did a lot of people come to the meeting? How is that going?
There were at least half a dozen people from the public at our meeting.
Attorney Margaret Maher?
Yes, she was there.
Did she speak out on any particular issue? She's an eloquent defender of civil rights locally and has been at the fore in trying to press for a stronger Citizens Police Review Board in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Any issues that she brought to your board?
She brought up the issue of the new general orders. She said she was deeply concerned with them, and she hoped that the board would look into them.
Did she specify what exactly her concerns were?
Let me look through some notes, and I need to tell you that my 10 o'clock appointment is here.
I got you.
So I need
to catch you after your 10 o'clock appointment for a quick follow-up on some of this stuff. Maybe you can actually...
Hey, good morning, Santa Cruz. This is Whiskey here. Monday morning with a special guest today is the man.
What's up? I'm the man.